Blog Talk Radio.
How are you doing, my brother?
I'm just great, my brother. I'm good, good. You know, ready to talk a little bit of sports with you.
Yeah, hot day, by the way. It's the weather's kind of getting hot, man.
It is. I think it was 90 today, but I'm not sure, but that's what I heard.
And 83 here.
Oh, yeah?
Southern Connecticut.
That's warm enough. Warm enough.
Warm enough for me, anyway. I'm sweating.
Oh, well. Oh, God. Call the National Guard.
Oh, God. Hey, let's lead it off with the NBA Finals today, Mike.
All right. Well, good. Yeah, it's game four tonight. And, you know, unbelievably, the Cavs are up 2-1, which I think surprises everybody because Golden State had such a good year. They won, like, 67 games or whatever it was. And they had the MVP, and they have all this supporting cast. And somehow the Cavaliers, with all their injuries, are taking it to them. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. I expected the Warriors to be up 2-1 by now, but kiss of death.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I think there's a couple of things at play here. You know, it's like, first of all, LeBron James, everybody knows, is the best player in basketball, the most complete player. He plays offense, defense. He's a leader. He's a great passer. He's a rebounder. He does it all. He's got a couple of championships, so he knows what it takes. And it's funny, he seems to have matured to the point where, you know, you see the great champions mature to where they will do absolutely anything to win. You know, some players only do what they do, and if it's good enough, they win, and if it's not good enough, then they don't. But he's out there. He brings the ball up the floor. He's diving. I mean, he's the best player in basketball, and he's diving for loose balls, and he's in there, you know, mucking it up. And, you know, and that's become contagious. He's been a great example to his team. And that's become contagious because, you know, you see a guy like Matthew Dellavedova. You know, he's the backup point guard when Kyrie Irving got hurt, you know, and out for the year. Dellavedova comes in. And now this guy is like a folk hero because he's a little guy with a beard from Australia, a little white guy. And, you know, and he's diving all over the floor. He's making these crazy shots. He's like, he's involved in every inch of the court. It's been unbelievable.
That's what you got to do, man. You got to come to play every night.
Well, you know what? They're playing like, and this is going to sound stupid because I'm always like talking about them, but they're playing like, you know, I think my UConn teams played when in the tournaments when they won the championship, where every game you thought, well, they're going to lose this one, you know, Michigan State. Oh, they're going to lose to Florida. Oh, they're going to lose to Kentucky. Because every time they seem to have less talent, but they just played harder. And that works
in
the pros,
too,
I guess. Right, and that seems to work in the pros as well, because that's what's going on here. The best player is LeBron, but like the four or five next best players are all on Golden State, and somehow Cavaliers are leading. So if they pull, if they get a 3-1 lead, what?
LeBron James dumped in 40 points the other night.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's had three unbelievable games. He's had 40,
he's like,
and I think he had 45 in another game, and I think he had like 38 in the first game. And it's even more than the points. I mean, he had triple-double the first game, so he's doing everything, you know. He's got double-digit rebounds in every game, you know, 9 or 10 assists in every game. So he's doing it all, brother.
And the high scorer for Golden State, Stephen Curry, had 27.
Yeah, well, now Curry was having a terrible game, but then he just went nuts at the end of the game and started making threes from all over the place. And they actually, like, they tied. You know, Cavaliers were up by, like, 20 points at one point. And Curry actually, I remember, like, either tied the game or gave them a lead late in the game with, like, three or four threes, you know, almost in a row. And he was crazy. I mean, he was, like, falling down, falling out of bounds, shooting up threes and making them. He's, like, the best shooter I've ever seen. But he's not the complete player that, like, a LeBron is, where, you know, he had a great year, but he's not the best player. And LeBron's proven that right now. Now, that being said, I think we're kind of due for one of those games where Golden State just breaks out and, you know, scores like 120 points.
Who do you have in game four?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Golden State will probably win because I don't think – now, Cleveland's kind of banged up again. You know, Shumpert hurt his shoulder last – I mean, Shumpert already is coming off, was coming off the bench, and so he had to move into the starting lineup because of injuries. And now his shoulder, he's got a bruised shoulder or like a strained shoulder. And now Dellavedova spent the night in the hospital after game three for severe dehydration. So,
yeah, he's ready to go, though, he said.
Well, they say that. He's ready. He's willing to play, but that doesn't mean he's going to be effective. And I'm just thinking, you know, this is about the time where I think Golden State, you know, pulls one of their vintage games where maybe Cleveland just doesn't have quite enough energy to play the defensive intensity that they've been playing with. And it doesn't take much space for Golden State to start scoring. Now, Cleveland's done everything right, but I think Golden State maybe breaks out tonight. But that doesn't mean I think Golden State's going to win Game 5. I mean, I could easily see Cleveland coming back in Game 5 and, you know, being re-energized again.
Yeah, and I got a trade to tell you about.
What's that?
The Milwaukee Bucks have sent Ilyasova, or whatever his name is, to the Pistons for Caron Butler.
Yeah, that trade means nothing. You know, you always come up with these trades that, you know, nobody cares about. I mean, it's not like they're trading anybody good. I mean, that's only good for fantasy people because, I mean, Caron Butler's like 100 years old, and I don't even know who the other guy is. So, I mean.
So, I don't even know either. I should know, but I don't.
He's worth talking about, you know.
And a little more news. Looks like Eric Gordon of the Pelicans, the New Orleans Pelicans. What a name, right? Pelicans?
Yeah. That's like one of my favorite names, actually.
It is?
I love that name. Yeah, the Pelicans. Big goofy birds.
And it looks like he's going to opt in for next season and play the final year of his contract with the Pelicans.
Oh, good. Well, I tell you, if I was on the Pelicans, I'd want to stay. That team's on the rise. You know, I mean,
yeah,
and it's also...
and he had listen to what he's done so far. Three seasons, he's been injured a lot. He four seasons, nine games the first season, 42, then 64 and 61.
Man.
So, he's strong.
Any decent numbers from him? Any, like,
I don't have his numbers. I just exited out the page. But here is Ilyasova guy. Going back to that for a minute. They're going to get Sean Williams from the Pistons as well, the Bucks.
Right.
And Ilyasova, nothing special. 11.5 points and 4.8 rebounds in 58 games last season. Butler, 5.9 points. Williams, 5.4. So nothing special,
yeah.
That deal.
No. Nothing special. I see that Carmelo Anthony bought a professional soccer team in Puerto Rico.
Oh, really?
I think he's making too much money if he's buying soccer teams.
Yeah, I wish I had that kind of money.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't buy a soccer team, though.
I'd buy a hockey team.
Oh, all right. Well, good.
Or an arena football team.
Yeah, right.
I like my arena football. But...
I know you do. I know you do.
But going into Major League Baseball, Mike, I guess it was a bench-clearing brawl in Atlanta. Atlanta's been involved in a couple of bench-clearing brawls between the Padres and the Braves. Yeah, something about, I don't have the details, but no, I don't have the details. Sorry.
Okay.
But they had a bench-clearing brawl, and we've got a retirement to talk about. Eric Bedard, I think he was for the A's.
Who cares?
Retired.
He's nobody. He's nobody. We don't care.
He's pitching in Class A. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he played for the Orioles for a while, and I mean, he was very good. I mean, it's really not that important.
Yeah,
but
I guess
he
was trying to make a comeback, but he was pitching in Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, what a good sounding name, though, Cucamonga.
And you were saying?
Well, I say now, these bench-clearing brawls in baseball, there's never any good fights in baseball. I mean, these baseball players are the biggest wusses. They don't know how to fight at all. And, you know, I remember, like, the Yankees and the Red Sox had some brutal, like, bench-clearing brawls, like, in the 70s, you know, where, like, people got their arms broken and stuff. And, what's that?
Even in the 90s, Pedro knocked down
Tom Brewer. Yeah, they've always had brawls. But, you know, back in the 70s, I remember, like, Bill Lee got, like, his arm broken. And, like, Carl, you know, like, Greg Nettles and Lou Piniella, like, beat the crap out of him. You know what I mean? Like real, like barroom brawls. I mean, where they were just, like, beating the snot out of each other. And now it's all, like, pushing and shoving. And then the guys run into the bullpen. Everybody holds each other back. You know, I want to see I want to see, like, a good Wild West brawl. People just flying, you know, and getting chairs crashing over people's heads and stuff and swinging bats.
I know the Mets had a couple with the Reds back in the 80s.
They had one in 86. I remember that the year that early in the season, like, Ray Knight punched Eric Davis right in the face, and just a big brawl started. And then in the playoffs in 73, the Mets and the Reds, Pete Rose slid in really hard to break up a double play and knock Buddy Harrelson down. And Buddy Harrelson said something, and Pete Rose beat the crap out of him.
Teams that did not like each other.
Well, the Reds won the fight, but the Mets won the series. That was funny because the Big Red Machine was, they were great, and the Mets were just kind of a scrappy team with good pitching but no hitting, and they beat them. They beat the Reds.
Yeah, and I think kind of some of it with the Reds was like, who's this team coming up? It's so brash and cocky and everything, and we're supposed to be that way, right?
Yeah, right. Well, they were that way. The Reds were tough, you know, and they were just – I think they were a little bit embarrassed that they were getting beat by the Mets, and the brawl was maybe supposed to – you know, Pete Rose was a hothead, man, you know? I mean
– Yeah, even
tough.
With the Phillies, he could be a hothead.
Yeah, he's – you know – he's just that way, you know. I mean, he comes off now as like a gentle old guy, you know, but he was a maniac. I mean, he was like a modern-day Ty Cobb back then, you know, and the way he played super hard all the time, just, you know, didn't care whether he got you pissed off or hurt you or whatever. You know, he was tough.
Yeah, and a couple injuries to talk about. Zach Hozart of the Reds is out 9 months due to tearing the ligaments and his biceps tendon in his right knee.
Well.
And see you later. See you later, Cozart. His season's over. And the Yankees have an injury to talk about. Andrew Miller. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's not, I mean, it doesn't sound like it's something that bad, but, you know, it's a strained elbow flexor tendon or something.
Left flexor muscle sprain.
Yeah, but he's, but it's his arm, it's his pitching arm, and he's been unbelievable this year. But, you know, the last couple of times out, he's been less than, you know, great. And I started thinking that, you know, maybe the league was catching up to him a little bit, but maybe he just had a sore arm. Who knows? I mean, he went on the DL yesterday, and the thing that is, though, I think Betances is better than him, and he's going to move into the closer role now.
Yeah, here comes Dylan Betances, of course.
Oh, my God. Dylan Betances is ungodly. You know, I mean, throws 98, 99, 100 miles an hour. He's got, like, a killer slider and curveball, and he just strikes everybody out. I mean, every time he goes in, he gets 3 strikeouts, 2 strikeouts. I mean, every single time he strikes out the side. And he's given up 1 run the whole season. His ERA is, like, under 0.3. It's, like, 0.28 or something, or 2.7. I mean, that's a 0 first. Mm-hmm. That's not, like, a 2.27. And he's just ridiculous. He's so good. So they're going to just slot him right in. But now they got to find somebody to do Betances' job because he's been perfect in that spot. And already they lost a game yesterday because Miller wasn't available. And the Yanks had a 2-run lead. The Yanks had a 2-run lead in the 8th inning, and they couldn't hold it because they brought in Jacob Lindgren instead of Betances. They were probably saving Betances. Well, he's a first-round pick from last year. He's a good pitcher, but, you know, give a home run to tie the game. And normally that would have been Betances pitching, but Betances was being saved for the ninth because Miller was hurt. Nobody knew it yet. And, you know, that was the first game the Yankees had blown, I think, all year when they were beaten after 8 innings, I think, or after 7 innings. So, already.
A couple more notes from baseball, by the way.
Go ahead.
You know, the draft was the other night, and the Yankees ended up passing on Mariano Rivera Jr.
Well, yeah.
I haven't heard too much about, but it's, he signed with the Nationals. I haven't heard too much about him, but I'll get some research done on him for the next week.
All right. Well, he wasn't – let's put it this way. If it was Mariano Rivera Sr., I'm sure they would have taken him.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been – it sounds like it would have been strictly like a, you know, a
publicity move.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he was that good, they would have picked him, you know? I mean, I don't – I mean, unless he inherited his father's cutter, I mean – anyway,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
And also – baseball is Major League Baseball is the World Baseball and Softball Confederation has applied for inclusion in the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. So maybe they'll be back.
Oh, good, good. That'd be good. Don't drink
and
the water.
I want to do what? Don't drink the water in Japan?
Not in Tokyo. Not in Tokyo.
Not in Tokyo. No. I'm going to do some music and come right back, Mike.
All right, man.
Eric Clapton, San Francisco Bay Blues.
Ah, I like it.
Go Giants, right?
All right.
Hey. You there, Mike?
Yeah, I've always liked that song.
Yeah, kind of digging that.
Yeah, man, that's an awesome tune.
Yeah, I like that. And you can hear more of that on my music show that I do every now and then. Every now and then.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to do a little tribute to Dusty Rhodes, by the way, before we get into some other stuff. Dusty Rhodes, 69 years old. He died today in Orlando, Florida. Looks like he had a kidney problem or something. He fell, and he's just had some complications with his kidneys, I think.
Wow. Well, sure. I mean, people do have problems with their kidneys.
Yeah, and he was a legendary, a Hall of Fame wrestler for WWE. He started out in the National Wrestling Alliance, went to WWE and TNA. Was a three-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Listen to this. Also a former United States Champion. Also Television World Tag Team and Six-Man Tag Team Champion. Also
wow.
Held many digital championships. And his sons are Dustin Rhodes, Gold Dust in WWE, and Cody Rhodes, Stardust.
Oh, God. Well, he brought him right into the family business, didn't he?
Yeah. So he had a long career. I was watching something earlier about one of his most famous promos. He's like, "Ric Flair put me on hard times." The hard times promo. But anyway, he'll be missed. He mentored a lot of different guys. So. And gals, too. So he'll be missed.
Well, I remember him from when I was a kid. You know, that was a long time ago. So, I mean...
Dusty Rhodes, what memories do you have of him, Mike?
Well, I don't really have any memories of him because I wasn't a huge wrestling guy. But I remember him being around, you know?
Yeah, so. And I saw him once at a WWE show in Miami a couple years back. And he came out to the ring and did his thing and put the legends and did his little boogie. And he was great. But let's go into the NHL, Mike. Looks like the Hawks and Lightning are tied at 2. Who wins game 5 tonight? Or tomorrow, whatever.
I don't know. I've been sort of thinking that the Lightning were going to win this thing ever since I saw what they did to the Rangers. They just seem to have that sort of youthful, nobody thinks we're supposed to be here, so who cares, you know, attitude. And they played great one game and awful the next. But, you know, Chicago is a very disciplined, very talented, very veteran team. So I guess I got to lean on Chicago. I mean, I guess I do.
I'm going to Chicago too, but kiss of death, of course.
Well, then I'm totally going Tampa then. Because one thing I've learned in life is if you're picking the team, I'm picking the other team.
Yeah. Hey, check this out. 4 games in the Stanley Cup Final so far, and all 4 have been decided by only 1 goal.
Yeah.
And it's happened only twice in NHL history.
Wow. Evenly matched teams, you know. I mean, let's see what happens. Whoever wins game 5, I think the other team will win game 6, you know. I mean, it's probably going 7.
Yeah, and maybe force a game 7, yeah.
I think Tampa's gone to 7 games maybe every series so far. I don't know that for sure, but I know they did in the first round.
Yeah.
I know they did against the Rangers. So.
And if they go again to Game 7, can they last? That's the thing.
Well, they're young, though. They're young. And I think that, yeah, I think they're fine. At this point,
yeah, here's a story of Game 4. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane came through in Game 4 for the Blackhawks. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Toews?
Well, I think so.
He scored the first goal of the game, and Kane assisted on Brandon Saad's winner in the third period. The Lightning had to play without starting goalie Ben Bishop due to an undisclosed injury, and Andre Vasilevsky wasn't terrible in his place, but he wasn't exactly great.
Well, it was 1-goal game, so, you know, I mean, he was 1 goal less great than the Chicago goalie.
Yeah. And we've got about... Hold on. Oh, we've got about 5 minutes to go. A couple other things going on in the NHL. looks like the city council of Glendale, Arizona, has terminated the Arizona Coyotes arena lease agreement, Mike.
Well, what does that mean?
That means the future of the Arizona Coyotes looks like it's in doubt.
Bring them to Hartford.
Bring them to Quebec City, maybe. They say they're disappointed with the city's decision to violate its obligations under the agreement that was entered into and duly approved only 2 years ago. We will exhaust any and all legal remedies against the city of Glendale for this blatant violation of its contractual obligations to us. So it looks like a lot of hostility there.
Yeah, strong words, man. Strong words. Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, hockey is a great sport, and it's getting much more popular now. But, you know, it's possible that Glendale is possible to lose the money on them. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on out there.
Yeah, I don't know. They might have just figured we want to get out of it because we're losing money.
Well, you know, everything's about money, Matt. So either they want to make more money or they're not, you know, or they're losing money. One's one or the other. They figure they can get a better deal. Or they figure that they're getting taken to the cleaners. It's one or the other.
Yeah, I think it's really possible that they could move to Quebec.
I don't know about that, man. There's very few teams left in Canada. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why.
Well, the thing
is,
Quebec City just built a new arena in anticipation of the NHL.
Oh, really? Well,
because they want a team bad there.
Well, we'll see. I guess we'll see.
Mike?
I have no idea.
Oh. Okay. And Hartford is kind of like slacking because I would say slacking because, I mean, they renovated the XL Center, but that's not going to cut it, I don't think.
No, well, Hartford's pretty dead. Hartford's not a great city, dude. Hartford's a very poor city. And the XL Center, I mean, they may have renovated all they want, but the fact is it's still like about a 40-year-old building. And, and it holds 16... It has like 16,000 seats for basketball, and you know the ice is bigger than a basketball floor, so it'd probably be less than that for hockey, and that's not going to cut it today in this day and age.
Although I should say the Wolfpack did well this season; they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals in the Calder Cup.
Well, congratulations, Wolfpack!
Got beat by the Manchester Monarchs.
Oh, that was the finals?
Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, okay. So that's basically the final four.
I don't even know what Monarchs have been, what ended up in the AHL. But with the last 2 minutes, I was going to say another thing from the NHL. Detroit, the Red Wings have hired Chris Chilios, Hockey Hall of Famer, played with the Red Wings and the Blackhawks. They've hired him as, like, an assistant coach on their staff.
Well, he was a big winner, man. He was a great player. So, I mean, hockey does that really well. They're former players. Like, you look at a lot of sports, and a lot of the managers and the coaches are not necessarily former players. I guess in NBA they are. But, like, in football, most of the head coaches, like, didn't play in the NFL. They might have played in college or something, or they're, like, administrative type of guys. And in baseball, you know, a lot of the managers didn't play. A lot of them did. But hockey does that really well. I mean, their coaches are all former players, and they really get it. And Chilios is a winner, so we'll see. I'm sure it'll be good for him.
First coaching stint at any level, he spent 10 seasons with the Red Wings, 9 with the Blackhawks, 7 with the Canadiens, and he briefly played for the Atlanta Thrashers at the end of his career. So 26, 27 seasons.
Wow. Well, I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
It says 26 seasons, 1,651 games, fifth most in league history. Also a 3-time Norris Trophy winner and a finalist 6 times for the award, part of 3 Stanley Cup teams, including once with the Canadiens in 86 and twice with the Red Wings. Elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame on the first ballot.
How could you play 26 seasons in hockey? That's just such a tough sport, you know? 26
it's like a
Gordie
Howe kind of thing.
It's like getting beat on for 26 years. Man, he must be a tough dude.
Must be, yeah. Well, any final thoughts, Mike? We've got 5 seconds before we go overtime.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Yanks shake it out. They had a 7-game winning streak that got snapped yesterday, but I'm hoping that they just jump right back in and pick it up again. They're starting to take control of their division, I think, and hopefully they'll continue.
Yeah, that's
you?
Cool. Go Yankees. And not too much to talk about, except I'm getting ready for my my wrestling show on Monday on the air at WDJZ 1530 in Bridgeport.
Very nice.
And I guess it's time to do the outro music, man.
All right, brother.
I'll do it up.
Later.
And thanks for following up, Mike. We'll do it again next week.